let's look at our scripture today. And it's going to start at 28. And it's not that many verses, so let's all read it together. The Lord is the everlasting God,
the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk.
Blessing, family.
Well, good morning. It's great to be gathered together. We've already had some awesome experiences of worship. I love children's time. Thinking about running, that is in this text. And I will be focusing a little bit on that theme of the weary experiences in running. But you may have also noticed that there is a line that says that they shall mount up with wings like eagles. I can assure you that I did not pick out that text for this morning because it was the Super Bowl. And I have proof. If you look on the back of the bulletin, it's already one of the lectionary texts that has been chosen for this Sunday out of Isaiah. Bible readings for today, Isaiah 40, 21 to 31. We're just taking a little glimpse of that, but that's kind of amazing. And Todd, can you put up the first picture here? If any of you are wondering where the eagles come in the Bible here, and we just happen to be having one of them this morning, so that's awesome. And Matthias is back there. Go birds, right? All right. Thank you. Now, that would be the last thing in the sermon about the eagles, I promise. Well, there's a lot of beautiful images in this text in Isaiah this morning. Everlasting God, creator of the ends of the earth, a God that does not faint or grow weary, a God that gives power and strengthens the powerless. And then we see this beautiful statement of being able to run and not be weary. So maybe a certain image stands out for you that you are drawn to. For me, when I read this text, I am drawn to this image of running and not growing weary. Running has been a significant thing for me since middle school. I ran at New Covenant Christian School in sixth grade already, competed at MAXA, which is a Christian, brought Christian schools together to compete. And then at Lancaster Mennonite School, there's a picture of our cross country team here. In 2002, that's a picture of us. We went 14-7. All right. Not too bad. But, running at cross country at Lancaster Mennonite for 4 years was actually very formational for me. It was a wonderful community of people. We knew we weren't the cool kids. Okay. We weren't the soccer and the field hockey and the basketball, but we all kind of owned that together, and that's what kind of bonded us. Our sport was the other sport's punishment. So, you can't help but be bonded by that. So then I ran at Goshen College as well, and a good friend of mine, his name is Ugo, he's actually the person I hiked the Appalachian Trail with as well. We got this idea after we graduated from Goshen, let's go out to Chicago and run the Chicago Marathon. Now, Ugo's a pole vaulter. Pole vaulters don't run marathons, okay? So this was a pretty big deal for him to start training for a marathon, and I had ran the Harrisburg Marathon, but it didn't go very well, so I was trying to redeem myself a little bit by doing Chicago in 2008. So we trained hard for this. If any of you have ran a marathon, I know some of you here have, you know that there's many different stages to running a marathon. If you look at the next picture here, so this is the Chicago Marathon. This is the fun stage where everybody's excited right at the beginning. I mean, the energy, you just excitement and the energy. All of these people have been training for the last 3 to 4 months, running incredible amounts of miles and training. And now here we are all at the start, ready to go. And we're just excited. Okay, but that's only the first stage of the marathon. I thought I'd show a little video here of 2 minutes to show you the rest of the experience.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Listen to everyone cheering. This is going to be great. Months of training is paying off now. I'm hydrated, glucosed up, and my mental game is on point. Let's do this! Okay, so I'm a little behind on my normal pace. No big deal. Just keep going. And I think I missed a spot on my thigh with my Body Glide. Sure, that won't be a problem. And I don't need to stop for water just yet. Oh, look, here come some hills. That'll be fun. Wait, I'm not even halfway through yet. Feels like I've been running forever. What's with all these hills? The whole course hills? I think it's going to be tougher than I thought. Where is everybody? Am I still on course? I haven't seen a water stop in forever. Why didn't I get water earlier? Well, it's just me, myself, and the road, I guess. Nothing left to do besides confront all of my inner demons. I am going to die! Why did I ever decide to do this? My thighs are raw like two hams, and I think my toenails just fell off. What else could possibly go wrong? Oh, great, the runner's trots! Well, at least I haven't hit the wall yet. I hit the wall! I have never been so tired in all my life. Even my teeth are tired. I think I should just quit. Just stop passing me, you jerks! No, I need to power through. I didn't train for months to give up this late. Time to dig deep. Think of that Olympic runner who finished with a broken leg. That was really gross. But the point is, if he can do it, so can I. Now, come on! The finish line is right up there! 1 foot in front of the other! Yes! I did it! Oh, this is the greatest feeling in the world!
So, those are the 8 stages of running a marathon. So my experience in the Chicago Marathon is, Ruthann, you very appropriately named all of the elements and how that can affect the experience. So it was a very hot day in Chicago that morning, and I was extremely, extremely dehydrated despite, you know, taking incredible amounts of fluid, and I was just sweating so much out. And I got to about mile 22 or 20, where they say you hit the wall, and I completely hit the wall. I completely hit the wall, and I started to experience unbelievable cramping in my legs, my calves, my thighs, my hamstrings. Every part of my lower body was cramping up. And I was stopping to stretch and trying to keep going, but I was feeling unbelievable pain. I finished the race by the grace of God. And as soon as I crossed the finish line, I basically fell over exactly as it was there, because my cramps were so strong, I couldn't even stand up. And they called the medical team, which they were prepared and ready to go. And they took me to the medical tent. And I kid you not, I had 5 massage therapists on me trying to control my cramps, because they were so bad. They literally had to like put pressure points on each, like one hamstring, one calf, one hamstring, one calf on each part, because the pain was so bad. For me, that experience was about as vulnerable and weary as it gets when it comes to experiencing physical pain. But it wasn't just physical pain, it was this emotional pain of loss of control. When you feel a cramp coming on and you can't get it out, it just creates this almost panic. How will it go away? And it's not just one, it's like 5 different places that my body is cramping up all at the same time. And so it's this loss of control. It was difficult. It was hard. Yes, I survived. But I look back at that experience and then I read a text like this and I realize that I learned something in that experience. I learned that that's really almost a metaphor for what life is like. And I learned that lesson in my mid-20s. Guess what? That's kind of like life. Pretty hard. I can try as hard as I possibly can to control the outcome. I mean, I trained so hard. I drank so much water. I consumed unbelievable amounts of Gatorade and gel. And I cramped up like crazy and just lost it. And it was out of my control and power. And man, is that not true in life sometimes? Wanting to get the outcome just right. I prepared perfectly, but it didn't happen the way that I thought it would. When we lose control, when I lose control, I become very vulnerable. Vulnerability. Capable or susceptible to being wounded or hurt. A vulnerable part of the body, but it's not just physical, it's emotional. It's cramping up all over and thinking you might die. Calves, quads, hammies, the whole deal. We see vulnerability in this text here in Isaiah. We see weariness in this text. Isaiah's words show us the people of Israel who are weary and vulnerable and have lost control. What is the context here in Isaiah for the people of Israel? It's that they have been exiled to Babylon. They have lost their home and their temple. And not just for 2 years, for 70 years, from 608 to 538 BC, they have been exiled to Babylon. And they are weary. And now here in this text in Isaiah, the prophet is calling them to return home and to rebuild the temple. Will they have the strength to be able to return home? And so when we read these words of those that wait upon the Lord, we see a kind of waiting that is 70 years worth of waiting to return home and rebuild their temple. For the Israel, they felt like they had lost control. And yet, the prophet Isaiah is asking them to trust God, to wait on the Lord to renew their strength, to wait upon the Lord in their struggle, to continue to wait, in their vulnerability, to wait. But my goodness, waiting is hard, isn't it? For Israel, they probably had been very used to waiting before. I mean, they waited for 40, their ancestors had waited for 40 years wandering through the wilderness, waiting to get to the promised land. We can't even imagine waiting more than 10 minutes when the sermon goes long sometimes. Waiting is hard. We live in a world where we want instant gratification. I don't want to wait for it. I want it now. I want the Eagles to win today. I don't want to wait another 20 years. Sorry, I said I wasn't going to talk about the Eagles anymore. Man. You know, there's this beautiful picture of waiting that I have found in the Amish community. When there is a trauma at the hospital, the Amish community responds. I mean, it is a beautiful thing to see. And they come to that waiting room and they wait a very long time with their loved one. In fact, they bring the food in. I mean, they just eat right there. And when most people would be visiting maybe 2 hours and then leave, these families and communities are literally there the entire day, doing shifts, coming in and out, waiting together, praying together. And I had to think, you know, what is it in their community that allows them to not be so rushed and just to go in and out? Like, how do they just have this sense of being present? It's like, you know, just think about how they look at transportation. I mean, they have to take a lot longer time even to get to where they're going to by being in a horse and buggy. They can't just get in the car and fly. And that has formed them in a unique way to be patient people who have learned how to wait. Boy, we can learn something from them in our fast-paced, instant gratification world. We are called in this text to be a people formed in the kingdom of God that have learned how to wait. Israel is being asked to wait upon God, and we are being asked to wait upon God. And I think it's important to ask this question, why? Why are we being asked to wait? And I believe we have to go back to who God is, the very character and nature of who God is, to find that answer. Why are we to be a people that wait? Because God is a God that waits with us first. We wait because God waits with us. If we look at this text, we see this is about God, God's character. The word everlasting, creator, God. When I hear the word everlasting, I think long. I think of a God that has not given up on his people, but there is everlasting love of our God, creator. Our God is a God that waits with the weary. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. God waited with Israel in the Old Testament. If you look at something called the Deuteronomic cycle, it's this cycle that you read over and over and over through the Old Testament and look at the life of Israel. And it's this cycle. This is the cycle. Israel is living in a way that is honoring God. Okay, they're following the teachings of the Torah. And then they sin. And they fall away from God. They forget Yahweh. And then God sends a prophet. And the prophet comes in and just calls them out. Doesn't hold back. And says, look what you're doing, Israel. And then Israel changes their ways. And they remember Yahweh. They remember their God. And they have a king that is faithful oftentimes. And then how many years later, they just fall right back into the same cycle. They forget Yahweh. Their kingdom becomes about them and not about God. And then a prophet comes in again. And the whole thing repeats and repeats and repeats. And we call this the Deuteronomic cycle through Israel. But here's the significant thing is that God does not give up on Israel. Even when they forget and forget. And forget Yahweh. The everlasting love of God does not give up. God waits with them and continues to call them back to faithfulness. And I think about the New Testament and Jesus. These beautiful pictures of Jesus, who is a Lord that is present and waiting, even in the weariness, even in the brokenness. I think of a text like Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who are weary. I will give you rest. I think of Christ on the cross with his arms outstretched, almost this invitation of saying, I am here, present in your suffering, waiting with you, bringing hope. We wait because we have a God in the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament who waits with us in our weariness. As I think about that experience in the medical tent after the Chicago Marathon, after the massage therapist had gotten my cramps controlled somewhat, pretty good, it was significant to me that everybody did not just leave and let me just sit there all alone. But there is one person that just stayed there beside me, kind of giving me bananas and water as I needed it, just recognizing the incredible pain that I had been in, and they didn't leave me alone. They waited there with me as I started to regain my strength. Is there anything more significant or profound in being a follower of Jesus than being willing to wait and be present with another person in their hardship? It's so simple, but it's so huge that you're not alone in your experience. Let me wait with you. Let me be here with you right now. as we think about next week and our covenant signing, I see God waiting with us, and I see us waiting with one another in our covenant. Our covenant is saying, first and foremost, who is God? Who is God to us? God is a God that loves us. And we see that love, first and foremost, in Jesus Christ, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. A God that has come to earth to be present with us in Christ, waiting with us, present with us. A God who has first covenanted with us. But it's not over there. It's not over with that. Our covenant calls us to wait with one another, to be present, to love, to forgive, to work at reconciliation, to work at healthy forms of communication in times of conflict. Waiting implies leaning in and being present. Waiting is not running and leaving in our anxiety. In this covenant relationship that we call church, when I'm fainting, exhausted, falling over, and cramping, and completely losing control, this covenant is saying, I'll be with you. I will wait with you. I look at Whitmer Heights, and I just have to say, I love the community here. Community. There is this strong sense of togetherness. Togetherness in the unity of Christ. It's in your DNA, Whitmer Heights. It's in your DNA from a long time. A very strong sense of being willing to wait with one another. To say you're not alone. And I think this morning, it's more just like this reminder and just this encouragement to say, let's keep doing this. Let us continue to be people who learn how to wait with one another, to recognize that our Lord waits with us. I would like to end by simply reading Isaiah 40 once again, and then I'm going to pray the prayer in the bulletin that fits with this text. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let us pray. Everlasting God, the concerns in our lives make us weary. The injustice in the world makes us impatient. We lift our eyes to you, the Holy One, for there is no other like you. We will wait upon you to renew our strength, for you are great in strength and mighty in power, and your love is never ending. Amen.